Anyway, if it doesn't, I got my clicker here. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Behold, the Lamb of God. What does that mean? Behold, the Lamb of God. We just witnessed, of course, the Messiah's birth, and that the wise men that traveled afar, given frankincense, myrrh, and gold. I almost said aloe because aloe sounds like something that you would give to somebody to soothe their injuries, but it's frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And these wise men, they didn't report back to Herod. But we kind of fast forward back in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. John the Baptist has made himself known. If you've ever read any parts of the book of John, it talks about not only who John is, it gives you a detailed life expression of John the Baptist, who was 6 months older than Jesus, and yet he had no idea that his cousin, who had been with him the 3.5 years in ministry, ministering to people in need, that he would be picked as the Son of God. Now, maybe his mom told him that later in life, but many people thought, because of what John was doing, they thought he might have been the one, the only Savior who has come to save us all from our sins. And in John chapter 1, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The next day, Jesus was coming toward him, and behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sin of the world. Now this is he of whom I said, "After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me." Like, what are you saying, Pastor? I had just literally reiterated this a few moments ago, that John was baptizing by water. He was out there proclaiming that this is the day that the Lord has made, that I baptize you with something that is not seen in a lot of churches, maybe looked down upon, because they did not believe that someone needed to be immersed into water to turn away from their sins. John was preaching what Jesus was teaching and living and telling others about who this person is. And so Jesus was probably casually walking along here, and then the crowd looks on. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me." He didn't say before me. He says specifically, "After me. After me, take away, comes a man who ranks also before me." And so the scripture has said plenty of times, the first, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, those who inherit the kingdom first, not necessarily get it. Those who are last will inherit the kingdom. It's talking about this richly kingdom. And just because you're the first at something does not necessarily mean you are going to inherit the first thing. Brady says, and he talked about this. Okay, right earlier. But in continuing in John, he has to tell everyone that I myself did not know him, meaning that he did not know till later in life. I don't know when Elizabeth told John that, here's what probably Elizabeth said: "John, I love you, you're my son, I'll do anything for you. We have a great king who's going to one day rule the world. Rule the earth. He is your cousin, Jesus. John probably found out much later in life, like many of the disciples. But for this purpose, I came baptizing with water. So he was explaining to them that I come baptizing just with water. I want to make you new today. Today is a new beginning. Yes, you might have sinned. You might have done some very bad things. But guess what? God forgives you. You have been forgiven of all your sins. God has already forgiven you. He has loved you from the day you were born. And so he continued baptizing people. But, however, there's going to be someone that's coming after me who is going to be giving you a new baptism. And this new baptism, as we get ready to enter into the time of Lent and the Holy Spirit, which we have moved in with Epiphany, and this God's going to be speaking to many, many people when we move down those roads. But in John bore witness, he saw the Spirit. Alright, so Jesus said, hey, brother, cousin, come baptize me. So as Jesus was right there in the waters with John, he was getting ready to baptize Jesus when this dove started to land right on Jesus. He saw a spirit descended from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. It's almost like Jesus had this glimmering light around him, this radiant light. And anyone in contact was like, in awe. They're like, did that just happen? I don't know if you've seen the movie The Chosen lately. It is as close to being realistically close to the scenes of what took place when the disciples were seeing miracles take place. What happened when Jesus was getting baptized, when the devil appeared. But John even said, hey, I did not know. We need to be ready. John wasn't ready for what was about to take place. And he said, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me. But he's been listening to God, but even God may not be ready to tell you everything because you are not ready for it. That's what he told him. He on whom you see the Spirit descended. So he had a dream. God spoke to him that night. And remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So a new baptism is coming forth. Like baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh, how do you do that? I didn't know to baptize with water. I did not know there was another way out there. In verse 34, I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And that is the testament that when that dove comes down, welcome Jonathan, welcome. When that dove came down upon Jesus, John was probably in shock before they were getting ready to baptize Jesus in water. Jesus is probably well aware of what was going on. Now he's like, I have seen and borne witness that this man I am baptizing, he is the Son of God. The one, the only Son of God. It was at that point when John baptized Jesus. Not that it was a sorority or a fraternity of any kind. But this baptism was not taught in the churches. From that day forward, when Jesus was baptized, it's time to start recruiting people. So the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. So he had already a small group anyway. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, Behold the Lamb of God. These two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So it was close, those who were close to John also knew who Jesus was. They continued to follow by him. And someone said, behold, the Lamb of God. Too many times we are searching. We're searching for the wrong things. We're searching for the wrong people. We're constantly searching that we don't realize what's in front of us. Now, Jesus saw these people following. Like, have you ever been followed by somebody or something? You're not quite sure what to make of it. Jesus was walking casually, like he would normally do. Maybe going throughout Galilee, talking, speaking to many people. But too many times they're like, is that the person? No, that must be it over there. He must be sitting at the table. That must be the Son of God. We're seeking the wrong things. And Jesus had to stand there, right there in their tracks, asking, what are you seeking? And many times we don't know the answer for that, because are we seeking an actual person? Someone who could heal us? Cleanse us? What are we seeking? And here's what they said. They said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, and very well respected. You are called a rabbi, you are held to a higher standard, you are up there with the echelons of pastors and priests. Where are you staying? That sounds pretty noble, right? Asking Jesus, hey, where are you staying? He said to them, come on, come on, follow me. I'll take you where we're staying. So they came and saw where he was staying. But they did not want to leave him because they have found what they were searching for. And too many times we want to look into books. We want to look at science. We want to look at everywhere else. But what about what the scripture says? The book of Isaiah clearly had mentioned it several times. But these two disciples stayed with them and became the disciples. These were disciples of John. Now there's some division about to stir up here. One of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew. Andrew himself is Simon Peter's brother. Now, they give us a little detail of the very first disciples. So you had John, you had Andrew, and of course Simon Peter's brother. Those were the closest ties, those that got to know who Jesus was. Now, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. Jesus looked at him and said, you know what? I love what Jesus says. He gives what would you call it? It's a laugh that kind of like a redundant question in a way, almost like a rhetorical question. And of course, as Andrew goes to Simon Peter, he's like, hey, we have found him. Come with me. I will show you. We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. And this is how Andrew, Peter, and John became the very first disciples on this journey. That they had come to a point. Yes, Jesus was walking along, probably minding his own business, or he wanted to go check out what John was doing. He heard John, who is his cousin, go out and started baptizing people. Or it was an act that Jesus had said, "Hey, John, I see a lot in you. You are going to be baptizing many people." He didn't probably understand at that time. Angels were probably speaking to him. But Andrew was the first one to bring someone to meet Christ, to meet Jesus. Tell me about your time that you met Jesus. Do you have an experience similar to what Andrew, Simon, Peter had, the very first disciples who encountered who Jesus is? They have heard so much in Scripture throughout the book of Isaiah about this Savior, but have not really thought about it. Now, when I was younger, the first time that I really met Jesus, my grandma, she was at church all the time, at all the activities. But growing up, I felt the church was more of a family. And it was at that family experience that at age 13, I decided, you know what? I want to meet who this Jesus is. So, I was able to make a declaration that day that I was going to follow after God's heart, God's will, and continuing going after the things of God and not pursue my own agenda or my own plan. Now, no one really introduced me to Jesus other than my grandma, my mom. Did someone bring you or introduce you to Jesus? Today's sermon is probably not like anything that we have talked about. Did you have that influence of a brother, sister, family member that introduced you who Jesus was? I know there's probably a lot in here that you grew up in the church. But did you know you can still grow up in the church and still not know who Jesus is? Because you got to read his word. You can't just hear it. You can't just see it. You got to read his word. Take it in and understand the scriptures. That's why we read the Bible. We read his word for understanding of happened to Jesus. How did he get who he is today? Isaiah was one of the well-known orators, or not philosophers. He was a very well-known prophet in the land. He could foretell the future, not like those magicians, but when Peter first met Jesus, I wonder what that experience was like. As he's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm finally able to meet Jesus." And he gave me a new name. Cephas, which means Peter. So we have Simon, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And John introduced him to who Jesus was. He was baptism of water. And today, did you have an experience knowing who Jesus is? Very much like the disciples in. Tell you what, it was a great experience. As they were even in the garden. Now, we're going to sing a song that might be a little upbeat. But when you meet someone for a first time, the song here is Glorious Day, and we're going to have our benediction. also, which will be after the song. If you don't know who Jesus is, I encourage you to read the scriptures. Ask somebody. Find out who Jesus is in your life. And I believe I have the song already ready to go. This is Glorious Day. It is sung by a pastor in West Virginia, Pastor Corey Atkins. He's going to lead us into a song. It was a glorious day when Simon Peter, named Cephas, is now Peter, and Andrew, they met Jesus. Let us worship together.